Book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, please, chapter 3. This morning we began a study on a man by the name of Eli, a father, and we, in studying his life, we note the condemnation that God places upon him and his family because of a negligent life that he lived as a parent. As a priest, as a judge, he was faithful. He no doubt loved God, a sincere man of God. But when it came to the raising of his children, he failed. And I failed to give you the title of the sermon this morning. It's Seven Inexcusable Sins. Seven Inexcusable Sins of a Parent. And here in 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verse number 13, as a way of review, it reads, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever, for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your eternal word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us into truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Seven inexcusable sins of a parent from the life of Eli. And God said to Father Eli, "I'm going to judge you because you have failed to restrain your children." And we stress this morning that this restrain not is in reference to the fact that Eli failed to lead his children. He failed to control his children. He failed to discipline his children. And then we began from that basis of what that little statement means, he restrained them not. And we began to study some of the outward manifestation of how Eli neglected his most important responsibility, which was to raise his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Seven inexcusable sins of a parent. And we noted number one this morning that the first and prime sin that Eli committed in the raising of his, or the failure to raise his children, that is Phinehas and Hophni, was that he gave them privileges without his children proving themselves responsible. He gave them privileges without them proving themselves responsible. And we noted that in chapter 1, where the Bible teaches us that Eli made his sons priests. Hophni and Phinehas were made priests. He was the high priest. He had that authority to do so. And the first cardinal sin that Eli committed was that he gave his children privileges they were not worthy of because they were no doubt irresponsible. And parents, may I charge you again this evening, please be discerning the privileges that you give your children and take a stand back and just ask yourself, does my child deserve this privilege? Does my child deserve this privilege? Are they fulfilling the basics? What are basics? Make your bed. Obey. Have a good attitude. Eat all your veggies. Fulfill that job that your parents have given to you. Basic. Basic. Those basics are the evidence of a hard attitude. So parents, don't commit the first cardinal sin that Eli did, in that he gave privileges to his children they were not worthy of. Let me ask, when was the last time you saw an L-plater pulled over by the police for negligence? When was the last time you saw a P-plater in an accident or been pulled over by police or do something absolutely ridiculous? After taxi drivers comes P-platers. And why is that? I mean, we laugh at it, but it's very sad, is it not? And I'm sure this is not evident in our P-platers within our church. I'm sure they're all wonderful drivers and law-abiding citizens, and they obey those numerical signs on the roads. But why is that? Why is that? It's a sad commentary. Just the other week, I had this P-plater just zipping in and out of three lanes. As if he was, I'm not sure what he thought he was. Absolutely amazing. See? So parents, don't give your children privileges if they haven't earned the right for those privileges. And work off the basics. That was Eli's first and foremost cardinal sin. Let's move on this evening. Let's also note there in chapter 2, verse number 12, please, another cardinal sin that Eli committed is found here in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 12. The second inexcusable sin committed by a parent by the name of Eli. Note here in verse 12, the Bible reads of 1 Samuel 2, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial," that means worthless, of no value, lawlessness. And note this next little phrase, "they knew not the Lord." They knew not the Lord. Amazing. Eli made them priests and they didn't even know the Lord. Amazing. Amazing. They did not know the Lord. The greatest crime a parent commits against his own children is the negligence of their salvation. That's the greatest crime that you and I as parents could commit against our children. And this is a serious parental oversight in the life of Eli. His own children did not know the Lord. Surely this must have weighed heavy on Eli's mind when he heard of their death. Where are my children? Where are my children now? And parents, may I encourage you this evening, don't neglect so great salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? May I submit to you that's in reference to a believer neglecting the preaching of salvation. Yes, the application is to the unbeliever. There is no escape if they neglect salvation. But if you read that verse in context, Hebrews 2, 3, you will note it's talking to believers. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, to proclaim that salvation? See? We'll give an account of that one day. The same principle is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that God is long-suffering to usward. The usward is referencing the believer, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And parents, may I submit to you this evening that you and I need to guard our hearts lest we neglect our children and their greatest need of salvation. Parents, what are we doing for the salvation of our children? Do we pray for their salvation? Do we live out the Christ life before them? Do we witness to them? Do we read the Scriptures to them? Do we live according to the Scriptures before them? What are we doing for the salvation of our own children? Eli's sons did not know the Lord. They did not know the Lord. His sons died. Eli's sons died without hope, because the Bible teaches us they knew not the Lord. And Eli, in his haste and negligence, appointed them as priests, and these men didn't even know God personally. Almost unbelievable, is it not? It's not really unbelievable, because in our own churches, I believe there will be children that do not know the Lord. We as parents have been negligent. May God help us as a church family, lest we be negligent to address the issue of the salvation of our children. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. My Bible teaches me change with their salvation. And parents, you know your child. Is there salvation change? As C.H. Spurgeon said, only a sneeze will do. But a sneeze. A but a sneeze. There has to be some evidence there, see. So Eli, his second inexcusable sin, number one, he gave his children privileges without his children being responsible in the little things. Secondly, he didn't address the issue of their salvation. Now thirdly this evening, there in chapter 2 once again of 1 Samuel, please note verses 13 down to 17, please. You follow along as I read. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 13. The priest's custom with the people was, pardon me, that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants came. And while the flesh was in the seething, while a flesh hook was of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan, or kettle, or cauldron, or pot. And all that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came hither. Also before they burnt the fat, and the priest's servant came, and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. And note verse 17, wherefore the sin of the young men, Phinehas and Hophni, was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Now, we don't have time to go into the detail of these verses, but in a nutshell, basically what takes place here is simply this. Hophni and Phinehas unashamedly and boldly took for themselves the best of the meats that were there to be offered unto God. So as people came to worship with their various meat offerings, Hophni and Phinehas would observe what was offered, and if they saw, for example, a T-bone steak, they said, I'll take that. If they observed a cut that was appealing to them, they said, I'll take that. So in other words, Hophni and Phinehas were absolutely, I mean, abuse would be a kind word. They were unbelievably abominable in their actions. Because they, as priests, they misappropriated their role as priests. And as they observed people in sincerity bring their offerings to God, they would handpick and even at times by force take meat that was meant to be offered unto God and consume it themselves. Offerings. Unbelievable. And note here in verse number 29, please, of this chapter, note what God said about this sin. Look at verse 29. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering. Now to kick within biblical time was to show absolute dishonor. It'd be like spitting in somebody's face. It'd be just as horrible to be kicked by someone to show dishonor. And God said, you have kicked my offerings by what you've done. Let's read on, verse 29. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offerings, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me. Note this next little phrase. To make yourselves. Now God is addressing Eli here and he's holding him accountable for his negligence in not restraining his children. Note this little phrase. Look at it, please. To make yourselves, say that next word, fat. To make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. So God said to Eli, I'm going to judge you because you've allowed your sons to violate my offerings and to eat that which was meant to be sacrificed unto me, and you as a father did not restrain them. In fact, you ate with them and you partook of their sin and you wouldn't restrain them, and you have made yourself gluttonous. You are fat, like your sons are fat, grossly overweight, because you have violated my word and used my sacrifices to feed your filthy flesh. And God said, that's like you've just kicked me in the guts. What a sad commentary. Almost unbelievable. And the point I want to make is this. Hophni and Phinehas and Eli made themselves fat through gluttonous activity. They were gluttons to the core. And unfortunately, the father joined in with the sons. And I just want to make this point and just say in a nutshell, the third inexcusable sin that Eli committed was that he could see before his very eyes a violation of the word of God, and he did not stop them. In fact, he joined in with them. And the Bible says, Hophni and Phinehas became gluttons and became fat, and so did Eli. And we will read in chapter 4, because of his grossly overweight condition, when he heard the news of the Ark of the Covenant, and he heard the news of his sons being dead, the Bible teaches us he lost his balance off his chair, fell back, and he broke his neck and died on the spot. Because he was a very heavy man, the Bible teaches us. Hophni and Phinehas openly violated the word of God. And the third inexcusable sin that a parent can be guilty of committing is seeing that one's own children are openly violating the word of God and to do nothing about it. That is inexcusable, parents. And the Bible teaches us there in chapter 2, verse 17, that this discouraged the people. See, no man is an island to themselves. You can imagine, how did these people feel as they no doubt sacrificially brought their offerings to God, and to have these two priests, the high priest's sons, rob them by force and demand, now I'll take that, that's a good piece of meat right there, I'll take that. That discouraged them. That discouraged the worshippers. See? And parents, when you and I fail to restrain our children, when you and I as parents know that our children are openly violating the word of God and yet we do nothing about it, that is a discouragement to others. That doesn't encourage anybody. See? Their wickedness affected other worshippers. Let me ask you, parents, what do your children do for others? What do your children do for others? Are they an encouragement or are they a shame? This is the bird we must bear. Eli didn't stop his children in their sin. In fact, he joined in with them and became an undisciplined and gluttonous fat man who eventually died because he couldn't maintain his own weight. What a sad commentary. Parents, are you addressing sin in your household? Are you allowing your children to commit certain sins and you're just turning a blind eye? That's an inexcusable sin in parenting. Let's move on. You're getting awfully quiet. Number four. Note here in chapter 3, please, verse number 13. Note the word vile there in verse 13. Because his sons made themselves vile. What does the word vile mean? The word vile means to make light of, or to consider small, or to belittle something. And as far as Hophni and Phinehas were concerned, all that they were involved in was just a big joke. Because they just took the opportunity to live and do as they pleased. And somehow, I believe, Eli failed to instill, for a better word, a reverence and a respect for spiritual matters in the life of his own sons. Otherwise, how could they possibly rob those meats that were about to be offered unto God and consume them themselves? Didn't they have a conscience? What went wrong? And I believe that obviously somehow Eli, in his negligence as a parent, failed to instill a reverence and a honor and a respect for the things of God. The Bible says they were vile. They belittled the things of God. Eli failed to instill a reverence and respect for spiritual matters. And parents, may I charge you, whether you are a parent of a young child or a parent of a teenager or a parent of a young adult, instill within your children a reverence and respect for the things of God. That is an inexcusable sin that many parents commit. Not that long ago, I saw a group of so-called younger Christians. And I knew most of these. I know most of these Christians, second generation Christians. They are children of, they come from Christian homes, and this group of young adults put together a little movie, and they titled this movie Baptismal Bloopers. Pastor's kids, missionary kids. And they put together this video presentation, Baptist Bloopers. And they made a mockery of baptism within an independent Baptist church. Absolute mockery. That's vile. That is vile. And if I had the opportunity, I'd like to say to each of those parents, of those carnal, young adult, young Christians, you have been negligent. How can anybody mock baptism like that and make fun of baptism? When our Baptist forefathers died for baptism, shed their blood for believers' baptism upon their salvation in Jesus Christ, and this group of young adults, it's almost unbelievable. That's vile. That's what Hophni and Phinehas were like. They were vile. And parents, we need to instill within our children a sacredness, a reverence for the things of God. This book is sacred. Prayer is sacred. This church, it's a sacred place. See? And parents, it's our responsibility to instill that in our children. Eli failed to do so. The Bible says they were vile. Parents, are we teaching our children to honor spiritual things, or do we just tolerate disrespect? Let's move on. Principle number five, the fifth inexcusable sin that Eli committed as a parent is that he did not restrain his children morally. He did not restrain his children morally. Note there in chapter 2 once again, look at verse number 22, please. First Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. And Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. And how they, note this, and they lay with the women that assembled where? At the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. These guys are filth bags. They committed immorality within the four walls of the place of worship. They had impure relationships with women that were involved within the temple worship. Now, we're not told what these women fulfilled, but generally speaking, women did not have official positions within the worship, within the tabernacle, within the sacrificial offerings that were given. So we're not told what role these women fulfilled, but no doubt they were used in some way, maybe in the area of administration, maybe in the area of cleaning. We don't know, but somehow women were used in some form, obviously on a voluntary basis, within the place of worship, and Hophni and Phinehas were diabolical and immoral to the core. And Father Eli didn't restrain them. And the fifth inexcusable sin that you and I as parents can be guilty of committing is not to address the need to live holy and pure lives as young people. These men had unholy relationships, and Eli did nothing about it. Now Eli, listen to me, Eli lived in the tabernacle. The Bible says he was the high priest. He lived there. That was his home. He had a little dwelling there. He knew all that was going on. Yet he tolerated that. And I believe, parents, we can be guilty of just tolerating unholiness in the lives of our children. And I challenge you, parents, you need to know exactly where your children are morally. Eli didn't put a stop to it. Parents, what unholy relationships are you allowing in the life of your children? Are you teaching them and upholding godly standards of purity that will protect your children from moral failure like Hophni and Phinehas? Where was Eli in all of this? He lived in the place of worship. That's where his dwelling was. And yet he tolerated this? Unbelievable. I think we as parents can be guilty, I think, of just letting go of our children and not being involved and encouraging them to be pure and holy and to set their bodies aside for that one that God has for them. And let me encourage you, parents, you stay involved with your parents, with your children. And you be involved in that pick for them. You have every right. You have every right as a parent to be involved. Let's move on. Principle number six. Back in chapter 2 once again. Look at verse 25. Principle number 6. I'm almost there. In verse number 25, note there at the end of verse 25, it reads of chapter 2, notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father. Hophni and Phinehas openly rejected their father's instructions. Unfortunately, these sons were not disciplined. And unfortunately, Eli tolerated disobedience. And the Bible teaches us that they would not listen to their own father. And the sixth unpardonable sin, or inexcusable sin, I'd rather call them unpardonable, but people might get the wrong idea because they are just about unpardonable. The sixth inexcusable sin that Eli commits is that he does not hold his children accountable in obedience. And parents, listen to me. You need to hold your children accountable to obey you. In my family, it's one strike and you're out. That's the principle I've lived with. You obey the first time or you're out. So some of us as parents are beyond the plumb line. It's not even three strikes and you're out. You just keep threatening and they keep disobeying and you fail to do anything about it. May I encourage you? One strike and you're out. Simple. It's not complicated. You obey the first time. You obey joyfully, completely, immediately. One strike and you're out. See? And Eli had a bunch of reprobate sons that did not listen to their father, and Eli did nothing about it. And the rest is history. And last but not least, let's go to verse 29 once again. As the man of God, in verse number 27, the Bible teaches us that there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him. So God sends an unnamed prophet to Eli to pronounce judgment upon Eli and his family. Now note then verse 29 once again, what God said concerning Eli's failure as a parent. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation. And note this next little phrase, please. Honorest thy sons above me. Honorest thy sons above me. And my point is simply this. Principle number 7. The seventh inexcusable sin that Eli committed as a parent is that Eli sought to please his own sons more than God. And the man of God, the prophet of God said, you will be judged, Eli, because you have honored your sons above God himself. Eli was a child-centered parent. This is what we call child-centered parenting, where everything revolves around the child. That was Eli. In other words, Eli would not do anything that would make Hophni or Phinehas uncomfortable. He'd do everything to please them. He'd give them what they wanted. He allowed them to do what they wanted to do, even though they were abominable. Because Eli was a child-centered parent. Instead of being God-centered, child-centered. And parents, may I submit to you that your role is to be a God-centered parent. And by that we mean we train up our children not so much to please our children, but to please our Creator, our God. And if you will please your God, your children will come out fine. Okay? But Eli, the Bible says that Eli would honor his children more than he honored God. That's amazing, isn't it? Just didn't want to displease them. Didn't want to upset them. Didn't want to cause them to feel uncomfortable. Just wanted to please them and pamper them. And as a result, he raised two reprobates that died without the Lord. Child-centered parenting. I see this. This is a common problem in our day. Now I understand, you know, our children are time-consuming. Understand our children are take effort, need some concentration, need help and support. But parents, may I submit to you, your first priority is God. And next, your second priority is your husband, your spouse, and then comes your children. Child-centered parenting is when the children come first. That is not biblical. Not biblical. Did you hear that? That is not Bible. My priority is to my God, to please my God. My second priority is to please my wife. And then comes my lovely, gorgeous three children. But they come after God and Mum. Because that's what the Bible tells me to do. Eli was child-centered. As parents, we need to please the Lord first and foremost. Our spouse needs to be a priority. And then comes the children. A parent that is more concerned about how to keep his or her children happy will raise potentially a spoilt brat. Shopping centres are full of them. They are. Just have a good look tomorrow. You go down to the shops and just have a look at all the spoilt brats. We need to please the Lord, do we not? So the seventh inexcusable sin that Eli commits is that he is more concerned about pleasing his children than pleasing the Lord. And in closing, we read here in chapter 4, the sad ending to Eli's life. Chapter 4, the death of Eli is recorded here between verses 12 to 22. But for the sake of time, let's note verses 15 to 18. It reads, "Now Eli was 98 years old. And his eyes were dim, and he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army. I have fled today out of the army. And he said, What is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines. And there hath been also great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God is taken." And note verse number 18. "And it came to pass that when he had made mention of the ark of God," not his and his children, "when he had made mention of the ark of God, he fell from off his seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake. And he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. I think it's very sad there that there is no mention of his children there in verse number 18. I think that's a bit sad. Yes, he was concerned about the ark of God, and rightfully so, but that saddened him to the point that he lost his balance and he fell over backward and broke his neck. God judged the home of Eli. And this ultimately affected Israel with the loss of the Ark of the Covenant and the death of thousands. My friend, this evening our homes do affect our nation. Let me ask you, what contribution are you making towards the well-being of this nation by raising a spiritual home? Eli committed 7 inexcusable sins. 7 inexcusable sins. He gave his children privileges without them proving themselves responsible. Number 1. He did not address their need of salvation. Number 2. His children openly violated the word of God and he did nothing about it. Number 3. Number 4, his children were vile. They made light of the things of God, and Eli did nothing about it. Number 5, Eli's children were immoral, and Eli did nothing about it. Number 6, Eli's children disobeyed their own father, and Eli did nothing about it. And last but not least, Eli sought to please his children more than God. And the rest is history. And if I had time, I would spend a few moments talking about the life of Samuel. In all this, Samuel also lived within the place of worship. He also lived within the tabernacle. And here in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, verses 19 to 21, and Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and he did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So even though Hophni and Phinehas, and as I close this evening, listen to me very carefully, even though Hophni and Phinehas were just absolute abominable in their actions, and Father Eli did nothing about it, yet there was a young man by the name of Samuel that was there in the temple, and he continued to keep his eyes upon God. And he had a prayerful mother that prayed for him, no doubt, day in and day out. And Samuel decided, I'm not going to follow the example of Hophni and Phinehas. I'm going to continue to love God. I'm going to continue to honor God. And young people, listen to me. There are Hophnis and Phinehases all around us. And you might have one in your own family. And I'd like to challenge you, be a Samuel. Be a Samuel, stand on your own. So even though Eli was negligent with his own family, and Eli allowed Hophni and Phinehas, his own sons, to live like the devil before his very eyes, there was a young man by the name of Samuel that said, I love God, I've been dedicated to God, I'm going to serve God, no matter what anybody else does, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. No matter whether there's a Hophni and Phinehas brewing within my own family, I am going to serve God. That's wonderful. That's a little bit of encouragement, isn't it? That encouraged me as I was studying this, and I thought, oh, this is so discouraging. Oh, this Eli, what a kook. Fair dinkum. Oh, how discouraging. And then the blessed Spirit of God said, my son, don't lose heart. There's Samuel. Samuel was there. Samuel lived in the temple. Like Eli, he lived in the temple. He was set apart for God. Hannah allowed her son to be given over to God. He lived in the temple. So no matter how Phinehas and Hophni conducted themselves, Samuel still loved God. Oh, may God help us to love God in spite of the Hophnis and Phinehases all around us. Young people, let me encourage you, be a Samuel. Be a Samuel. Fathers, I beg you, don't follow Eli's example. Please. Now next week we'll pick on the mothers. That's next Sunday morning. We'll address the mothers. But fear not, mothers, you'll only get one sermon. The men got 2. Okay, and rightfully so. The mothers will get one next Sunday morning. But for now, let's close in prayer.